If you have your Bibles this morning, we invite you to turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, here in verse 22. We find here John the Baptist speaking. Verse 22, he says, "And after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized, and John also was baptizing in Arion near Salim, because there was much water there." Had to have enough water. You know, they had to have enough water. You know, it doesn't take much water to sprinkle somebody. It doesn't take much water to pour water on somebody. Amen. But there was enough water there to bury somebody. Amen. And that's where John was. And they came and were baptized. "For John was not yet cast into prison, and there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. And John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom standeth and heareth him, and rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled." I'm not quite understanding John the Baptist's relationship here, but I think one day he has a special place.
Amen.
A very special place in heaven.
Amen.
But you know, here, and we read this, he was saying, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom." There's no seem to be real question among the theologians of this world. Most all believe that the bride is the church. The real dispute would be what the church is to most people. Unfortunately, I travel somewhat, and I talk to people, and I work with other people, you know, and sometimes when I mention to them about the bride, I get a blank stare.
Yes.
The world today, we're in a world today where approaching 80% of the people say they believe in God, and I think over 55% of the people call themselves Christians in this country. And probably a very few fraction, small people, when you mention the bride of Christ, have any clue
what's
being spoken of. We believe, we're gathered here, most of us here, we believe it's those New Testament Baptist churches.
Amen.
Those local bodies. Yet today, we're wasting our time by the world standards. They look at us and they make fun of us, they mock us, they don't think that there's any reason that we should be doing what we're doing. But I want us to look at these verses that John said here. He says, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom." You know that Christ has a bride. He had a bride, I believe, from the day that he went up into the mountain and prayed. He went up into the mountain and prayed there in Luke chapter 6 and verse 13, and it says, "And of them he chose 12. You know, I thought about that as I was going through my notes, and I thought, he could have chose all those 5,000 when he was feeding them. He could have started out with a mega church.
Right. Yeah. Sure,
but he started out with 12. Yeah. And yet the world would say that my son is wasting his time, or that many of you, brethren, are wasting your time with just 15 or 20 people. Was Christ wasting his time with that 12? The mega churches today look at us as though we have no purpose. They look at us as wasting time. They look at us as those feeble Baptists. What can they really do? They wonder why we would waste our time with such small groups of people. And I think about in what Nehemiah said, which is when they mocked the Jews for building the walls. And they said, "What do these feeble Jews, what are they going to do? What are them feeble Baptists going to do? How much longer will they be around? When will they get it? When will they understand that they have to have the programs, or they have to have the entertainment if they really expect to grow? We're looked down upon for what we believed in. And our forefathers died for what we believe."
Amen.
Many churches today think that we should just close our doors, maybe even join their efforts. But I want you to know something today. They're going to look differently at us one day. They're going to look differently at us than they do now. One day they'll shout for joy that we didn't join with them, that we didn't close our doors and give up. I love the truth that Brother Sinek spoke about, but I love the truth of the Lord's church too. I remember, I love my pastor. I miss him. I miss Brother Clark. I miss Brother Harvey. I miss these men.
Amen.
I remember listening to a message that my pastor preached over 20 years ago here. Mystery within a mystery.
Amen.
I don't know if there's a better, greater message ever preached as far as I'm concerned. The Lord was dealing with me about surrendering to preach, but I put that tape in one day sitting in my house in Otter Lake, Michigan. And I listened to those blessed truths. And I began to weep. And I don't mean just cry. I mean I bawled. I began to just sob. And I began to weep because, why me? Why did he choose Wilbur? To show him Jerry. To show him. Why us? When there's so many.
Amen.
The beauty of the bride. Have you seen it? I thought to myself, once you see it, you can't hardly not see it.
Amen.
You look through it and you see this beauty of it. I mean, as I listen to that message and I think about how the Lord showed me and lifted that veil and let me see some of the beauty of the truth that He has a bride. That so many of the world just look at you dumbfounded and don't understand. But once you see it, you love it.
Amen.
You love her.
Amen.
You love the truth.
Amen.
And beside that, you never want to offend.
Amen.
For years, as we raised our children, when things would come up in our home or there would be situations or problems, my wife and I'm thankful that my wife sees it. But it came back to the church.
Amen.
We made every decision based upon the Lord in our church.
Yeah.
Because
Amen.
It was foremost in our life.
Amen.
We didn't want to ever do anything wrong. To offend. I remember my pastor once saying that if you were a disciplined member from a church and you didn't agree with the church and it was maybe they told you you were disciplined because you parted your hair on the wrong side of your head. You ought to crawl down the aisle and ask forgiveness.
Right.
Say, I'll part my hair on the other side.
Yeah, right. Amen.
If you see and understand the beauty of the church,
Amen.
You find yourself maybe wondering why, when you start to look at it, you could be like, well, let's look over in Genesis chapter 32 at these words, verses. I just want to read it.
Jacob.
He got to a certain point in his life where I believe he seen the grace of God in his life. And I love these verses, this verse in Genesis chapter 32. Verse 10, Jacob said, I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth, Brother Sinek. All the truth. I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. You know, that's what made me weep. I'm not deserving of it.
Right.
I'm not deserving of the blessed truths that God has shown. The world doesn't see it, but many of you do. The Lord said, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. But as I said, one day, these that look at us as wasting time, these that don't understand these things, will one day stand and shout and praise. Look with me over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul wrote there to the church there, and he said in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 11, he says, would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you, that church. That glorious bride, which is made up of those local bodies. Here he's writing to the church at Corinth saying, you've been espoused, you've been set aside to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin. Remember that, chaste virgin to Christ. Lest by but I fear lest by means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind corrupted. And that's what Brother Dan preached about, that the lack of discernment, the lack of being able to make righteous judgment. He said he was afraid for them that they would lose that. To the be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he that cometh and preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit from which we have not received, or another gospel from which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Or really what he says, bear with me in my jealousy. Bear with me as I say this to you. Understand what I'm saying. Amen. Why I'm saying it. And I thought to myself, you know, my phone rings. My wife is amazed. She said, you're kidding. And I said, no. I get a phone call probably once or twice a week from Rod Parsley, the World Harvest Church at Columbus, Ohio, one of those mega churches, wanting me to come over and join them and get with them and meet with them for their political rallies to help conservatives be get elected. I don't know how he's had four. I thought, the little West Milton Baptist Church in West Milton, Ohio, and he has time to have somebody call me almost every week. But I can't go to a political rally like that. I thought to myself, how can I join hand in hand those who don't believe these truths?
Amen.
Who don't believe in the salvation by grace, but more so, despise the authority of the Lord's church.
Amen.
Despise what we've stood for. Despise what people have died for. They trample over it. There are those that would gladly receive any disciplined member, not being concerned about the truth or the authority of the Lord's church.
Amen.
I thought to myself, God didn't call me to do that. God didn't commission his church to do this. But the devil has gotten a lot of people sidetracked.
Amen.
With politics. I'm a politic junkie. I watch Fox News and I like watching it. In the last couple elections, I was probably up all night watching for the returns. And I finally got to this year where I've just said, the Lord's in charge.
Amen.
He's in control. I was sitting there in the pew and I was thinking, you know, we can get all upset and abortion is horrible, but, you know, God could have stopped that in 1973 if he'd have wanted to. But he allowed it. He's still on the throne.
Amen.
The Lord commissioned his church and he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. You know, Christ never fought the government. He didn't command us to do this. He didn't command his church to go out and fight the government.
Amen.
Look at me in Romans chapter 13 and look what Paul wrote to the Romans.
Amen.
I love this because this verse in 13 chapter 1 tells us that God's still on the throne.
Amen. Amen.
He says, let every soul be subject unto higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained of God. God wants to allow Hillary to be president. That's his business. But God can stop her if he wants to.
Amen.
He can put anybody in power.
Amen.
There is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained of God. God's still on the throne. He can put anybody in the White House that he wants to.
Amen.
Look at verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, that they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. But look at this next verse. For the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. But thou then not be afraid of the power, do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same. Who was it that really hated Christ? Brother Sinek just read about Pilate. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The Roman government really couldn't find any reason. Herod couldn't find anything wrong with him. I mean, you look at who really hated Christ was the Jewish leaders.
Right.
Who really hated Christ was the religious establishment of the day. They were the ones that hated Christ. They used government. And I thought to myself, who do we need to be afraid of? The government loves taxpaying Christians. They love us. But I believe that we need to fear most is the established religions of today.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Right.
We need to fear those who hate us.
Yes.
Those who hate this authority. Those who hate the idea of a local bride.
Yes.
And not this big universal invisible thing. But those who we need to fear are the humanist religionists. The secular churches of the world, the so-called religious leaders, the Sharptons, the Jacktons, and even the Pat Robertsons
Amen.
Of our world.
Amen.
But we need to understand that who's on the throne. Said there, and says, "For he is the minister of God to thee to good," talking about government. He's went on to say, "Render therefore, to their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." Lord, we said, render unto Caesar what's Caesar's.
Amen.
That's not our job as Christians to be fighting the government. Most Christians have fallen into this idea when they believe what they hear about separation of church and state, that that's keeping religion out of government, which is totally the opposite. It was keeping government out of religion. Keeping the government out of our churches.
Amen.
We need to understand who our real enemy in this world is. But the Lord's bride, the Lord's church, this precious, chaste virgin that Paul said is espoused, has to keep itself that way. Unspotted from the world.
Amen.
We need to understand that we can't unionize and associate with the false churches of this world.
Amen.
I get these calls, and you know, the little pastoral community there where in West Milton, and I'm sure that Wilbur got it when he was there, and Randy got it the 15 years that he was there. But you know, they want to have a get together and have a prayer breakfast, and you know, and it'd be good to get together and pray. But how can I pray with those who despise my church?
Amen.
I know that I'm going to, if they're saved, I'm going to spend eternity with them, and one day they'll see it. They can't see it right now. Look in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 24 with me. As therefore as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You know, as Paul said, a chaste virgin. Brother Dan was preaching and I thought, oh my.
Amen.
Discernment. I need it. I need help. I need that spiritual discernment.
Right.
I felt like coming forward up here and asking every preacher to pray for me last night after that message, saying,
Amen.
I need help. I need to be spiritually discerned. I thought to myself, oh, I don't ever want to be in the pulpit of a church and lose my discernment.
Amen.
And be the pastor of a church when that candlestick is removed.
Oh, amen.
I thought of that Laodicean church when he was preaching, that they said, oh, we're fine. We got everything. And the Lord said, knowest thou not that thou art blind and wretched and poor?
Amen.
But you see, there is a candlestick. I remember talking with a friend of mine and saying, what is that candlestick? I mean, he was so close to seeing the bride. He says, I asked him once, I said, what's the bride? I mean, he was in a Baptist church. And I said, what is the bride to you, Jake? And he said, well, it's the Lord's church. And I said, what's the Lord's church? And he said, Baptist churches. And I said, oh. And I said, what kind of Baptist churches? And he goes, well, faithful Baptist churches. And I said, what makes a faithful Baptist church? And what is that candlestick that's removed? And he was just so close. And I said, it's that authority to be one that's given down, that's passed down. And he just couldn't quite understand that there had. He just felt like that authority, just any man could start one, as long as they practiced right, or as long as they believed right. And I said, no, it's more than that.
Amen.
It's more than that. But the Lord is going to, one day, He is coming back, and He has a bride.
Amen.
You know, and we read there, John the Baptist, he says, I can rejoice greatly in that. I rejoice greatly in the fact that he has a bride.
Amen.
He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. He has a bride. He rejoiced in it. I don't think he was part of it, but he rejoiced in it.
Amen.
All are the saved people of these churches. I believe there are many people in these so-called churches of this world that are saved. Whenever the gospel is preached, the Holy Spirit can save souls. But many, as Brother Seneca said, are not part of the bride. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, it says, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." He's talking to that local body, that church there at Corinth. You know, some one of our newer members came to me, and he just came to me, and I know that the Lord hasn't shown him, hasn't opened his eyes, and hasn't made everything clear to him, and only the Lord can do that. And he just came to me after church, and he said, "You mentioned this universal church. You mentioned local church." He says, "I need you to preach on that. I need you to explain it to me." And I thought, "Oh, Lord, open his eyes."
Amen.
And I told him briefly, I said, "You know, when Paul persecuted the churches, it said churches. The churches had rest." I said, "They were those local bodies. They were the churches that Christ had started out of his church."
Amen.
Those local bodies. And here's one at Corinth that says, "Ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church. First apostles." When he went up into a mountain to pray, and he chose of them 12. There were many there that were following him. I don't know how many, but he chose of them 12 whom he named apostles, and that was his first church.
Amen.
And God set some, and he chooses to do that. He opens and lifts that veil, and he shows some that blessed truth. And maybe you're like me. One day I walked down the aisle, I didn't understand it. I just knew. I told our people I didn't understand why I had to be baptized. I just knew that my baptism wasn't any good, and if I wanted to be a member here, I'd have to be baptized again. And one day I came knowing nothing more than that I could do nothing else than join.
Amen.
But after that, after following him, he began to lift that veil and show me a little of the truth.
Amen.
Open it up and make me to understand a little more when word was God was preached. Not everyone is going to be part of that bride. Not everyone in a local Baptist church is going to be part of that bride. Not everyone that's got their names on the roll is going to be part of that bride. You know, the Lord said, or Paul wrote through the inspiration of the Lord, wrote to Timothy, and he said, "The Lord knows them that are his. Does he not know his bride?" He certainly does. He knows who his bride is. There's coming a day when he's coming back for her. Why are we here? We ought to be here preparing ourselves.
Amen.
Coming here and hearing this preaching like we've heard, telling ourselves we're going to go back and we're going to change some things about the way we pastor,
Amen.
About the way we live. Because we want to be prepared. We want to be that righteous, chaste bride that he comes back for. John was rejoicing. He says, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom standeth and heareth him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice." You know, one day, I hope that I hear that voice. I believe I'll hear the trumpet. But I want to hear his voice, because I think there's going to be something there. We're going to hear the trumpet sound. But I think that he's going to be calling out his bride.
Amen.
Look with me in John chapter 14. You know, the Bible, John spoke about the bride and the bridegroom. And these are the words of the bridegroom to the bride. I love reading these. John chapter 14, as he's talking to who? That little local church. That little group of insignificant people that the rest of the world would just say, "What? Waste your time with them." But he's talking to them. In John chapter 14, verse 1, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Oh, I love this because I think about how a bride was would be purchased and bought, and the bridegroom would go back to his father's place and prepare. And there was no email, there was no cell phones, there was no way to communicate. So when that bride would, after that was purchased, he would go there and say, "I'll be back." And make promises that he would come back for her to take her to his father's home. And this is what Christ was saying to his church, to those 12 men there that he had chosen. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. You're my bride. I shared with you. I've told you everything that you need to know. I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." I don't understand that. I remember hearing my pastor preach about the things that John, when he was caught up in, Paul, when he saw things that he said weren't lawful for man to utter, and that God had shown him things that he couldn't speak about. I can't understand that relationship. We're not going to understand it completely, but I can understand that he loved me. And he's gone to prepare a place for me. And one day he's going to be back to receive me unto himself. "I will come again and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Whither I go, you know, and the way you go. Thomas saith to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me."
Amen.
You know, when I talk to people about the bride of Christ, and some people that saved, and I really probably ought to just start out with the gospel with most people, but probably not really saved, but some people that I'm traveling with or meeting with, and I talk to them and mention the bride, and they just have no clue that there's going to be one day a marriage supper of the Lamb. Tell them, read it. It's in the Word of God. In Matthew, it tells us there, the Lord said, Matthew chapter 22, he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son."
Amen.
He made a marriage for his son. I like what it says there. It says, and he sent forth his servants to call them which were bidden to the wedding. You know? The wife's not an invited guest.
That's right.
The wife's not invited.
That's
right. She's chosen.
Amen.
The wife's not an invited guest, but there are those that are invited.
Amen.
Look in Revelation chapter 19. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 5, and it says, "And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye fear him, both great and small." In verse 6 it says, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude." I mean, there's a lot of people there. A lot of guests. "And as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready."
Amen.
His bride has made her. I'll tell you, those that don't understand, that think we're just wasting our time, are going to be rejoicing with us.
Amen.
They are going to be so thankful, they're going to be praising God that we didn't join with them, that we didn't get sidetracked with them, that we didn't follow their way.
Amen.
They're going to be there, and those that hated us are going to now rejoice with us. Many of those, I believe, are saved people. They just have not seen the truth. The truth of God. Look with me in the Song of Solomon's. I'll tell you, Brother Randy Graber touched my heart with reading these verses up at Traverse City at their conference. I love to read some things in the Song of Solomon in chapter 6. We find here Christ speaking, I believe, of His bride. In verse 4 of Song of Solomon 6, He says, "Thou art beautiful, O my love. Comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Something to behold," He said, you're just something to look at. "Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me." This is Christ saying about us, His bride. I mean, to Him we're a beautiful thing. "The hair is as the flock of goats that appear from Gilead." I mean, this speaks of how He loves His bride, His church. "Thy teeth are as a flock of sheep which go up from washing," speaking of purity. "Whereof every one beareth twins, there is not one barren among them. As a piece of pomegranate are thy temples within thy locks. There are 80 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number." You know, there's a lot of churches today just out there, mega churches. There are, I mean, there's, you want to find the 80 queens and the 80 concubines and all those out there. There's many to find. And there's virgins without number. I mean, man, seems like every year starts a new religion when he doesn't want to accept the truth. But look at verse 6. There's only one. There's one. He says, "My dove, my undefiled, is but one."
Amen.
She's the only one of her mother. She is the choice one, the chosen one of her that bare. And then I like the last part of this. I leaned over to my son when we were sitting there and I showed it to him and I looked at that and I thought, wow. "The daughter saw her and blessed her. Yea, the queens and the concubines, they praised her."
Yeah. Amen.
There's going to be one day that all these people that think we're wasting our time are going to just praise God and praise the Lord's church for remaining pure and faithful. There'll be a day when they bow down, that great multitude, that voice of many waters, and said, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready." He said, "Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb." Those that are bidden. What a wonderful thing. You know, I'm so thankful for my parents that they raised me in a godly home, and I've tried to show them these truths, but I can't. I can't, as hard as I try, lift that veil for them. But I believe my parents are saved. And I'm so thankful that one day they'll be there at the guest in the wedding. I'm looking forward, though, to hearing that call. I'm looking forward to hearing the trump.
Look at Solomon chapter 2.
Verse 10. Solomon chapter 2 and verse 10. I believe this is what I really want to hear more than anything else. "My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away."
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Amen.